Let's just turn to our devotional sheets. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's do this a cappella. I'll just trust that somebody in the crowd can start us out.
Morning light is breaking, the darkness disappears, the sons of earth are waking to relent and to fear. Each breeze that sweeps the ocean brings tidings from afar. On nations in commotion, prepare for Zion's war. See the nations bending before the God we love, and thousand hearts ascending in gratitude above. While sinners now confessing the gospel call obey, and seek the Savior's blessing, a nation in a day. Blessed river of salvation, turn to thine onward way, flow thou to every nation, here in thy richness stay. Stay not till all the lowly triumphant reach their home. Stay not till all the holy proclaim the Lord is come. Amen.
The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. A fire goeth before him, and burneth up his enemies round about.
His lightning
the hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth.
The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory.
Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods.
He hath loved the Lord and hateth evil. He preserveth the
souls
of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked.
Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 10, beginning at the 11th verse. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and bestows his riches upon all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. But they have not all heeded the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So, faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. Here ends the reading. Now we join in the hymn. Will somebody start us again, please?
Hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this celestial ball to him all majesty
in Christ Jesus. Our theme for this alumni reunion and the Institute on Theology and Practice today is Mission in the 80s. At the last synodical convention here in St. Louis, the convention expressed that in the theme, God Opens Doors. The previous convention had decided that that was to be the theme for the 1979 convention. And it's a fine theme for our day, and the resolutions of that convention expressed it as well. In fact, the best that we can ever do in the Christian Church is to try to restate the goals and the purposes that our Lord Jesus Christ has for his church. One time, while he paused with his disciples, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And he received a variety of answers. Then he turned and said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter replied, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I must confess that in my early ministry, in fact for quite a few years, whenever these words came before me, I was attracted to two main thoughts in it. Thou art Peter, this Petra thing, which has an important element to add to us. And then the phrase, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church shall stand. The church shall be the protected church. It has the Almighty God behind it. It wasn't until some church growth person called my attention to some other important words that I realized there is another great truth here, where Jesus says, "I will build my church." And it's upon the confession that Peter made that the church of Jesus Christ is going to be built. And you notice, he's doing the building. He expresses it here with a bold but quiet determination. Now, this isn't an unusual theme in the scriptures. In fact, I see in some of the parables a description of the growth of the church. For example, in Luke 13, where Jesus describes the kingdom of God, saying, "It's like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, from a small seed to a large tree." Also, the following verse is expressive of the activity and expansion. When the Lord says, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God?" It is leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened. Now, you know, yeast has several qualities. One is that you put it into a mass and it deeply penetrates everything, and then it causes it to rise and to expand. So here we find the Lord's own view of the church is that of a living, growing, expanding organism. But the how of it, he didn't explain until just before his ascension, when he spoke to his disciples, saying, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So, the demand of the Great Commission is to make disciples of all nations. You look at this, and there are 4 verbs in this Great Commission: to go, to make disciples, baptize, and teach. In the original, only one of these 4 verbs is in the imperative, and that is the verb for make disciples, mathetoizeter. The other 3 verbs are participles. Now, if you remember what a participle is, it's a helping verb. So the basic command and thrust of the Great Commission is to make disciples by going into all the world with the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. However, once in a while, we in the church get our means and our end confused. We sometimes, as pastors and as members of congregations, feel that the thrust of the Great Commission is simply to proclaim the gospel. And we do the task of the church if we are simply faithful in our proclamation. Now, proclamation is important. But remember, the Great Commission says the proclamation of the gospel is for the purpose of making disciples. And sometimes we forget to get around to asking ourselves the question, are we making disciples? You take a look at the record of the Missouri Synod, the 1979 St. Louis Convention workbook reminds us that since 1971, our baptized membership has declined by 119,000. The most recent statistics that were reported in the Reporter indicate that there has been some improvement. However, in one of the categories of growth, the improvement was that the rate of decline was far less. So my one suggestion for us this morning, in keeping with the theme of our gathering together here, is to remember that the thrust of the Great Commission is to make disciples. And somehow we're not quite doing it unless we ask ourselves the question, are we making disciples wherever we minister? Are we reaching out and bringing the unsaved into the kingdom of God, into the church of our Lord Jesus Christ? I believe we all come from communities where there are people that are out of relationship with Christ, and our work and the work of our congregation is not completed until we make disciples where we are. Amen. We bow our heads to pray. Almighty God, who by thy Son, Jesus Christ, didst give commandment to the apostles that they should go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, make disciples of all nations. Grant to us, whom thou hast called into thy church, a ready will to obey thy word, and fill us with a desire to disciple the nations and bring thy saving health to all. Look with compassion upon the multitudes that are scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. O Heavenly Father, Lord of the harvest, have respect, we pray thee, to our prayers, and do send forth laborers into thy harvest. Fit and prepare them by thy grace for the work of the ministry. Give them the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Strengthen them to endure hardness, and grant that thy Holy Spirit may prosper their work, that by their life and doctrine they may show forth thy glory and set forward the salvation of all men. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We close with the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above you.